You're listening to Food Tech Talk, Supply Chain Insights from Farm to Fork, a podcast discussing the latest trends and technology in the food and supplement industries, featuring conversations with regulatory experts, quality and safety champions, and thought leaders across the industry. I'm your host, Lydia Adams. Let's jump right in. Welcome to Food Tech Talk. I am your host, Lydia Adams, and today we're thrilled to welcome Ivan Dedeck, the brewmaster and food scientist at Myers Creek Brewing Company in Casanova, New York. Ivan trained in food science and fermentation back in 2013 and hasn't looked back since he landed his first internship at Brewery Omegang. Now he's firmly focused on proudly brewing what's next for craft beer in the heart of New York State. And with two locations and a stunning portfolio of beers, this company are always looking towards the future while keeping a solid and steady eye on quality, safety, and compliance. We are really excited to talk to you today, Ivan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Lydia. Pleasure to be here.
I've been excited about this interview since I saw that I get to talk to a brewmaster, so I can't wait. So first of all, I want to learn a little bit more about you before we get into the rest of our questions. I see that you've had roles in business, finance, information security. So maybe you can talk to us about what brought you to this place in your career and what you're doing today.
Yeah, originally started out kind of in sales and finance and things of that nature that through various different reasons took me to London, and I was an international headhunter for a company doing information security. That was not a great time for finance and banking, and basically decided it was time to come back to the U.S., but didn't want to continue down that sales road and that finance road anymore, and just kind of found the things that I was interested in, which was food science, cooking, brewing, things like that. And that was when I decided just move to Oregon, head to Oregon State, and go back to school for another degree.
Wow, that's quite a shift. That is like, I think a lot of people have those ideas and dreams of like, if I could do anything different, I would do this. So that's cool that you did that.
Had the math background, didn't quite have the science background. So that's really what that was all about.
So I've been reading about your drive to make beers that are unique, unlike any other, and really just pushing the boundaries of what you're producing. So where do you draw your inspiration from?
We have a very good team here. So I've got a lot of talented brewers with me. And it's just, there's no bad ideas. There's just ideas that can't possibly work. So whether you're trying different things, I mean, yeah, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to dump things. That's just the nature of this business. I mean, we have wild programs. We have barrel age programs. We have all sorts of different programs that are going on. And a lot of times those things just aren't good. So you have to push the boundaries and experiment. It's an extremely crowded marketplace at the moment. So you have to be able to do things a little bit different to stand out, be unique, and be noticed in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that. And in terms of your role with creating this stuff, I'm sure it's deeply satisfying and enjoyable, but what about the quality standards? I think a lot of our listeners are really focused, being in the food and beverage industry, on quality. How do you guys maintain that?
It's multi-step. So obviously, any standard product that we make over and over and over again, we have standards for gravity. We have standards for pH. We're also doing constant lab testing. Our major scare in the brewing industry is generally lacto. So lactobacillus ingress, that's generally mitigated through hops and alcohol. But for our lower hop beers, that's a big issue. STA positive yeasts, which can infect beers and have long-term fermentation problems with exploding cans. We're adding fruit to beers. So you have to be wary of the fact that that's got to be attenuated out in order for it to go into a package so you don't have exploding cans on shelves, which you hear about all the time, to be honest with you, or exploding beer cans in people's cars, things like that. I mean, we do a bunch of lab testing, including PCR, various different broths, trying to determine what could be a problem. We're going to test everything, and 99% of the time, we're not going to see an issue. But the only way to confirm that is to continue to do those tests and to make sure we don't have issues in the future. And when you do have a problem, backtrace and figure out what caused it. So it's constantly testing. It's constantly being in your range of what's acceptable for pH and your Plato reading, your gravities, things like that. So it's a nonstop process.
I think for those of us that enjoy craft beer, we don't think about the science that goes into it. And that it's a lot. It's a huge undertaking.
It's massive. I mean, every day on a daily basis in brewing, you're dealing with physics, you're dealing with biology, you're dealing with biochemistry, you're dealing with chemistry, you're dealing with microbiology. We're dealing with billions upon billions of cells of yeast. And sometimes, you know, it's a living organism, and sometimes they don't do what they're supposed to do. So that can be frustrating.
And for you, what do you think is the most glaring part of the process where maybe these ingredients could get contaminated? What do you have to do to just ensure that that doesn't happen?
Consistency is key. Attention to detail. So confirming cleaning processes are done properly and all the tests are being done properly. We're ATP swapping in multiple places. Confirming through titration, your sanitation levels, sanitization levels are proper, things like that. With most places, in terms of brewing, the biggest spot where you see microbial ingress is actually in the heat exchanger going from the hot side going into fermentation. Because you're using a plate and frame, there's a bunch of little tiny spots in there that if not properly cleaned and sanitized, you'll get a quick microbe ingress. So, and then right at the start, you're going to have problems.
And something that I think about with this that I don't know if this is the right question, but like, how does this differ for, you know, like food safety versus what you're doing with the beer?
Food Safety Modernization Act was supposed to come into the brewing industry in 2020. We had this COVID-y thing. So they've been kicking that can down the road since then. It's gray area. So we don't know when that's actually coming in. But I mean, we do have the advantage, like there's no pathogens that are found in beer. So that is an advantage. We have the advantage of a lower pH. We have the advantage of alcohol, and we have the advantage of hops, which are slightly antimicrobial. So there's several things. The worst case scenarios are a very high pH could lead to problems down the road, but that can be easily mitigated. That's just through testing, confirming where you need to be, and you can always adjust pH. It's usually microbial in terms of lactic or another microbe, which is not going to really make anyone sick. It's just going to deteriorate the quality of the beer. It's interesting because in New York State, we are regulated by ag and markets. Those guys are used to going to dairy farms all day. So when they come in here, I'm just like, yeah, like milk can kill people. A bad beer might give you a tummy ache. And that's kind of the areas that we're dealing with here.
Interesting. And this brings me to my next curiosity, which is I know a lot of people think, oh, like I'm going to brew beer at home. And what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, what are the risks in doing something like that? I know there's kits and all that kind of stuff, but talk to me about that.
It's honestly, it's just slightly more involved than baking bread. So yes, you can do it. Yes, you may get infected. There are a million books out there and a million podcasts and, you know, a million shows about homebrewing. Just follow those steps. You should be good. Always check your pH is always a key indicator. I mean, if you're seeing huge drops in pH, then you probably your beer's infected with something. But I started homebrewing 20 something years ago. I think everybody should give it a shot at some point. With any brewing process, cleanliness is right next to godliness. So you just have to be clean.
Okay, that's good advice. So for a company like yours doing offsite catering or sending your products elsewhere, so what kind of safety and quality challenges are presented by traveling? And what kind of internal checks and protocols do you guys do to mitigate risk in terms of catering and traveling with your products?
So on the food side, that is more of our head chefs. So they make sure that everything is constantly refrigerated in cold boxes when they're taking food places, things like that. Constant temperature checks. They are following the letter of the law. They are making sure, obviously, your local health department is checking on those things and making sure they are doing their job properly. So it's keeping things cold, getting them out of danger areas as quickly as possible in terms of taking something out of the smoker that's not going to get used that day. It's got to get cold quick to mitigate those issues. In terms of a packaged beer thing, basically any packaged beer we have stays on site. We keep 4 cans warm, 4 cans cold for a minimum of 120 days. And usually every 30 days, we're checking those to see if there's any microbial ingress.
You kind of mentioned the differences in terms of like the regulations and all that stuff. I know like that the Brewers Association has, you know, a set of good manufacturing practices for craft brewers. So how do you use that as a guideline? Do you strictly adhere to that? And how does that work into your process?
Obviously, anybody should be following those guidelines. The Brewers Association is an outstanding resource for all breweries in the United States and Canada. They might go into Mexico as well. They're an outstanding resource from things like safe manufacturing practices to, hey, here are the OSHA guidelines, but also specifically for brewing, kind of keep an eye on these things. So we use those. I mean, we are not HACCP certified, but we do follow some of those HACCP protocols as well. So between all those guidelines together, we just try to use the high points of all of them, I'll say, and just try to keep it to the highest possible standard of food safety standards, working standards, things like that.
How has the technology and instrumentation involved in brewing, fermenting, and distilling changed over time, over your career? And how does that play into quality and safety?
There's a bunch of different ways. There's all sorts of equipment out there. I mean, we have equipment that can test our CO2 levels, our oxygen levels. We can also use that same exact piece of equipment to test it while it's in a package to make sure it maintains high quality standards. Oxygen is terrible for alcohol products. We use a inline yeast cell counter because of the fact that pitching at the exact same rate of a beer every single time creates consistency. We don't have to pull a yeast sample and dilute it and go and count it all on a hemocytometer and weigh it and figure it out. Like, we can just go through this process that saves time. It creates consistency. We've trialed products that basically hook up to fermentation tanks, and every 15 minutes will give you a gravity reading, a pH reading, an oxygen reading, all these different things. I mean, you could a lot of times almost sit next to a computer screen and watch all these things happen. I mean, you still require hands-on things because things go wrong, but there's so much technology out there, even just software programs being able to, without having 1,000 Excel spreadsheets, you can just have one software program that'll help you, hey, what happened with the last 7 batches of this beer, and go through and look at your fermentation and look at your pH changes and try to narrow down issues. There's so much technology out there. Every day there's something new. I mean, just thinking back, I mean, the ability to check your oxygen levels was not something that was 40, 50 years ago possible. And now pretty much every brewery has that ability to check the oxygen levels in their finished product. CO2 levels has just become same thing. There's been products out there for 100 years, but they've gotten better. They've become digital. So it's just gotten through time with all technology. It's just gotten more accessible, better, and continues to do so.
How does your background in information and business and all of that stuff kind of play into some of these things? I feel like, you know, you might be really uniquely positioned to be able to work with all of that and then also bring into obviously what you're doing now.
So one thing I have learned is that you can make the greatest beer in the world, but if it's not profitable, you're going to struggle in business. So it's kind of a problem. So what I would say is understanding all the overhead costs in terms of your ingredients, what's electricity cost, what's gas cost, what's labor cost, all these things. You have to be able to sell beer in a what is honestly a shrinking market at the moment. The younger generations aren't drinking beer. So we have to create new ways to do that, create consistent products, and also make sure what we're producing is a profitable product.
Right. Not just about the science or the coolness or the taste, but how does it get to market?
No, you can make the greatest tasting beer, but if your margins are terrible, you're going to go out of business.
Right. So just a couple more questions. I think this goes back to regarding the safety and the cleanliness and all that stuff. But how do you measure success with that? Do you do reviews and how does that work? Like, and what are kind of your checkbox KPIs that like, yes, we're on the right track with quality?
With quality, I mean, it's about consistently hitting numbers, whether that be mash pHs are constantly consistent, which is a struggle because your malts are changing constantly, and then hitting your pre-boil gravities and pHs and post-boil and pH and knockout volumes and all these things. And then adding on to just those standard KPIs, we're not getting any microbial ingress. We're not seeing any problems. ATP tests are done consistently and are hitting the proper numbers. So you're constantly just chasing numbers, essentially, is what it is. Like, that's what consistency is. And the KPIs are there to just keep people consistent. The attention to detail is the most important thing in any food product process.
Absolutely. So I have a couple more questions for you. So thinking back to when you started in this business, what advice would you give to somebody who would want to break into this field and do what you do?
I would recommend getting educated. That is the number one thing. And then number two, don't get frustrated with doing what might be perceived as a lower task in this industry. People want to jump to the head of the line, and that's not the way it works. You're going to have to do things like packaging and cleaning kegs and all these things that you're like, well, I went and got a degree, so I didn't have to do this. You still have to learn how to do those things because we had somebody out sick. I was on the canning line all day yesterday. So that's why you learned all those things and learn all your equipment. And that's a key one. Learn every piece of equipment in the building because you don't know if you're going to be called on to fix a pump or called on to fix a canning line or called on to fix a glycol chiller or boiler or any of these things. Know the equipment you work with because that is your lifeline. Without a boiler, without a glycol chiller, without a canning line, you're out of it. You can't produce. And without production, you're not going to make money and you're going to go out of business. So know your equipment.
That's really great advice. And then who within your industry, specifically craft beers brewery, would you most like to, this usually we say go to lunch with, but for you I'll say have a beer with?
There's a bunch of people out there. I went to school at Oregon State and Tom Schellhammer is one of the preeminent hop researchers in the world, and I have gone out and had beers with him. When I was out there, I was a bartender at a bar out there when I was going to school, and he would come in all the time, so I had plenty of beers with him. I mean, there's a bunch of people out there. Sam Calagione is a great guy from Dogfish Head. I was at Sam Adams and meeting everybody there. Honestly, they're an outstanding company. And the great thing about this industry is you do get to meet all these people. It's not that big. You go to CBC every year and you run in and get to hang out with these people and you go and get to hang out with them at ASBC conferences and World Brewing Congress and things like that. So nobody's out of reach in this industry, to be honest. And everybody's kind of open and available, whether from the university side that's in it or just your well-known brewers that are famous. So there's a bunch of them out there and I had drinks with a bunch of them.
Well, I really appreciate you joining me and giving us a glimpse into this world that you live in. It's such an interesting place to be and you're creating awesome stuff. So appreciate the perspective. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Lydia.
To our listeners, thanks for joining us as well. And we'll see you on another episode of Food Tech Talk soon. Thank you for joining us for another bite-sized nugget of Food Tech Talk, supply chain insights from farm to fork. To learn more about Trustwell and its technology platform that connects product formulation, nutrition analysis, and compliant labeling with traceability, recall readiness, and supply chain transparency, please visit www.trustwell.com. Thanks for listening.